Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Cry Into the Wind by Othello Bach is a spellbinding story of triumph over incredible tragedy and an inspirational guide for those struggling to overcome the effects of abuse. Abject poverty, a house fire that claimed her mother's life, the loneliness of an orphanage where she was separated from her siblings, and so much more. Yet nothing, nothing was able to break Othello's spirit. She couldn't read until the eighth grade, yet sold her first novel to Avon Books at the age of 27. She's the author of 17 published books, which range in scope and variety from suspense novels to children's books to nonfiction how-to books, and has authored 35 recorded songs by Broadway, TV, and Hollywood stars such as Joel Grey, Tammy Grimes, and Sandy Duncan. Othello is a mother, credentialed teacher, certified hypnotherapist, seminary graduate who writes with authority in each genre, and a motivational speaker. No wonder Joel Grey says Othello Bach is a force of nature, and her memoir, Cry Into the Wind, A True Story, proves it. And best-selling author Othello Bach joins us on This Week in America. Hi, Othello. Welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Rick. Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you here, and everything I've read about you've been looking forward to this. I think Joel Grey has hit it right on the head. You've got done so much to be proud of, and you've touched so many lives in your career. Let's start with this book, Cry Into the Wind. What was it about your story that you felt you needed to tell, to share with other people?
I felt like I needed to expose really that the churches that support these orphanages, and they still exist today, even though most people don't think there are any. I wanted them to know, and I'm not talking about the people that go to church and put their money in the plate. I'm talking about the ones who run the churches who should be looking into what's going on in the orphanages. And for instance, I was in two different orphanages, and the second one has been investigated at least twice by the government for its abuses. But anyway, the churches could do that on their own if they wanted, send people in to get to know what's going on, as opposed to just asking the superintendent, you know.
Oh, yes.
That's what I wanted.
Well, and you've started a conversation because that's a major part of the book. The book is Cry Into the Wind, Othello Bach. Bach is B-A-C-H. Her website, othellobach.com. All this is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book opens, your family is piled in a truck trying to outrun the landlord. And you say that happened often. That wasn't a one-time deal. It was like sort of a here-we-go-again moment. Why was that?
Yes.
Why was that? Talk about that part of your childhood.
Well, my father was a devout alcoholic, okay? And so there was no getting past that. And this was before birth control and things like that. And so already when I was 5 years old, there were seven of us. And anyway, yes, my father would drink every penny that he made, and then we'd have to run from the landlord every month, and spent one summer living in a literal ditch, a ditch dug to live in, for us to live in. So I remember all of that very clearly. I was just coming into an age where I could remember. They say 5 years old is about where our earliest memories start.
Yes.
So anyway, that's why it was my father.
What was it like going through that when you realize we're running from people, we don't have a lot of money, in fact, sometimes we don't have any money, we're living basically in the ground.
Yep.
What was that like for you? How did you persevere through all of that?
Well, number one, I hated eating weeds, okay?
Yes.
So this was an empty field that we were living in. I don't know who owned it, neither did my family or father. But anyway, living there, we ate a lot of what Mama called healthy turnip greens.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, I liked the vinegar we poured on them, but that was it. I did not like the turnip greens. I mainly remember, in a very childish way, being stunned that my mother was so sad. And also one incident in the ditch, what happened like the second night we were there, and there was a twig sticking out of the wall of our ditch, right? And she went over and took something out of a paper sack and came back and hung it up on the twig. And then she cried, and it said, "Home, sweet home." Mm. And so that, I couldn't understand, but I was very moved by it, that it said something nice, but she cried, you know. So
that's a memory. You finish that thought. It's really a memory that stays with you.
Oh, yeah. And then, unfortunately, when we left the ditch that summer, we moved to Colorado, rented a shack, and it burned down right away, and she was burned to death. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, my oldest brother, who was about 14 at the time, he pitched all the little kids out. And unfortunately, we saw our mother run from the back door of the house on fire. Wow. And screaming, and she died. That was a hard thing to get through.
I'm sure
she
it's still
instantly.
Yeah, I'm sure
she
it
died
still
2 weeks.
Yeah, that Go image. Ahead. Yeah, that image. It's got to be difficult even to this day. I can tell the emotion in your voice as you're telling
yes.
that story. Was that how the family, you and siblings, end up in the orphanage?
Repeat the question.
Yeah, please. Is that when this happened? Is that what prompted you and your brothers
yes,
and sisters ending up in the orphanage?
It,
yeah.
Yes.
How old were you then? How old were you?
I was 6 because I had just started school. I want to say something here too about
yes.
starting school. My mother had made a friend, a black man friend, which of course we came from Oklahoma, so I'd already heard that these were bad people, but not from my family. I heard it from others. But she asked him, because she had 3 little ones at home, younger than me, to ask him to walk me to school. And I recall his big, warm hand as he held mine so gently. And it was a dirt road. As we came up on mud puddles, he would so easily and gently lift me over the mud puddle and walk me to school. And then on the way home, he would meet me when school was out, walk me home. And there were great tall sunflowers along the road. And he would break off one and hand it to me. And I remember, so I've never, never understood prejudice. I mean, he was such a, and we were taught prejudice in the orphanage. If you, and you girls, they would say in chapel almost every day. And you girls, if you run away, a big black N-word is going to get you and rape you.
Mm.
We were, and that was a church-supported orphanage.
And that was the orphanage. Our guest on the program is Othella Bach. That's O-T-H-E-L-L-O, Bach, B-A-C-H. The book is Cry Into the Wind.
Wait a minute, Rick. You're misstating it. It's called Cry Into the Wind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cry Into the Wind. The book's available at all the usual places, Amazon. OthellaBach.com is her website. Information there as well. You talk about the orphanage, and it's probably difficult to answer this question, but what was the hardest part, or parts, I guess, of being in the orphanage? What impacted you negatively the most?
Well, the minute you get there, they separate you from your siblings. And the last thing my mother had said to me on her deathbed was, "You're the oldest girl. You have to take responsibility for the little ones. Watch out for them. Help them." Well, anyway, the minute you walk in the door and your daddy goes in and signs you up, they come, 2 or 3 of them will come and pull you apart. You're standing there screaming, crying, because you see them coming, and they pull you apart, and you don't get to see them again, except that, like in a dining room situation, and those are... You can't talk, but you can look across the room and see your little brother or whatever eating, and they keep you separated. And that was hardest for me because I had solid instructions to watch my little brothers and sisters, you know.
Yes. And not able to do that, that had to be heartbreaking, as were so many of the experiences you had. How long were you in that orphanage?
Between the two of them, and we almost went from one to the other 6 months in between, 11 years.
What was it like going to the second one? Was that as bad as the first one, or was that a little different?
The second one was worse.
Worse than the first one.
Yeah. So anyway, didn't leave there until I was just before my 18th birthday.
Just an amazing story, what Othello went through and the success that she's had and still has, continues to have in her career. Cry Into the Wind is her life story. You say in the memoir, and I mentioned it in the beginning, you couldn't read until the eighth grade. Talk about that experience and how you got through it.
Well, I think it probably was the shock of watching my mother burn, because I should have learned to at least learn sounds of letters even in the first grade, but I didn't. And I think it was probably just a mental block, a shock. But I was so embarrassed as I got older that I couldn't read. And of course I cheated. I was a clever cheater though. I mean, I wrote spelling words between my fingers and on the cuffs of my shirts, things like that. And I also knew I had to listen carefully so I could answer questions in class, because I couldn't write them out. And I would copy other people's work. And it was while I was cheating on a spelling test that the light came on. The teacher called a word that began with C-H. Well, I didn't know that. I mean, she made the sound of cha when she started. And then she chose a second word like that. And I thought, well, if I guessed right the first time, this word down here would be the next word. And she called a third one that began with the same sound. And I got it. And I said, oh, that's it. Now, I had never been to a library, never gone to a library voluntarily up through eighth grade. And I was just actually passing into eighth grade. So I was thrilled, and I went to the library, and I said, I want to check out a book, because when I heard the words, the sounds of CH, I thought, that's it. They have sound assignments. I love to draw the letters, but I never knew they had sound assignments.
Yes.
And so, anyway, I counted the letters in my name, and I thought, well, I have 15. That's half the alphabet. I can teach myself to read. And so, because I still hadn't admitted to anybody I couldn't read, I felt like a liar, a cheat, and a fraud, which I was. And I was just too embarrassed to admit it. But anyway, I checked out a book called The Mystery of the Little Green Turtle. It was the first, she said, the librarian said, what book you want to check out? I said, you pick. Well, what age group? Kindergarten or first grade. So she gave me that book, and I was able to sound it out. I was so excited. Number one, I always wanted to know why people wanted to read anyway. Why didn't they just talk? And she said, and so after I read The Mystery of the Little Green Turtle, the lady was looking for the turtle, the whole story, and she finally found it in her pocket. And I thought, that's why people read, to find the turtle. So, anyway, I went from that to checking out Daphne du Maurier. I said I wanted a high school book. I got Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. And I'm reading that when working my way through that. I have a flashlight under the covers because nobody knew I couldn't read. And so I'm still lying and cheating. I'm doing this under my covers. And all of a sudden, of course, that's a thriller, Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca.
Yes.
I got so scared, so terrified, that I had to stop reading. I remember how hard my heart was pounding, and I was hot. I mean, suddenly just afraid. And I asked myself, why am I so scared? I feel like there's a monster under my bed. All I was doing was reading. Oh, I was reading.
Yes.
Well, somebody else's words can make me afraid. Well, I can tell myself words that make me feel good. And that's what's the turning point in my life.
It really meant so much. And it's interesting because this was the eighth grade. You couldn't read until the eighth grade. That meant to get to the eighth grade, they passed you to one and two and three and all those grades. How did you pass from one grade level to the other when you were not able to read? How did you progress?
Well, like I said, I became a very good listener, which later made me a very good counselor.
Yes. But
a very good listener so that I could answer questions in class, and maybe people would not know I couldn't read. Now, the orphanage kids, some of them knew I couldn't read. What I said is, I don't like to read. Will you read this to me? I will wash your... We had to, like, wash our underwear and socks every night. And I would say, I will wash your underwear and socks if you'll read this page to me, if it was an assignment, you know?
Yes.
So anyway, that's how, but to me, it's almost a shame to teach kids to read so soon that they don't get the connection between words and their emotions.
No, yes.
Which
you did. Othella Bach is our guest on the program. That's B-A-C-H. Her book is Cry Into the Wind. Her website is othellabach.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. I want to go back for a second. You mentioned that was a pivotal moment in your life when you realized the joy of and the adventure that you could be on by being able to read. Why was it so for you? What was it about that moment that really almost spurred on a new Othello at that time? What was it about that moment?
Oh, it was a pivotal moment for sure, because I suddenly realized I could control my life with words. I could tell myself things. Today we call it affirmations, right?
Oh, yes.
Teach people to affirm. I do that. But that's what I realized, was that I can make myself feel anything I want by what I think. I can control my thinking. And I, to this day, though, our subconscious remembers everything we ever did. Till this day, I will still, if I drop a glass in the sink and break it, the first word that comes to my mind is stupid, because that's what I thought all my childhood, right?
Yes.
And so now I say, well, maybe I'm not stupid, but I'm sure clumsy.
And that, yes, that happens to all of us, and I'll keep that in mind when I do that the next time. And there will be a next time, maybe even yet today, that you drop a glass or something like that happens in your life. A couple minutes left in the program with Othella Bach, talking about her life, the inspirational life that she is leading now, and the successful life. And the book is Cry Into the Wind. Despite that horrific childhood that you talked about, you've received a number of awards and degrees as an adult. So much success with the Broadway stars and so much more. What do you hope that others will gain from your story? By sharing your story, how do you hope this will impact others?
I really hope that what I learned, learning to read, teaching myself to read, will be the message they get as a positive message. In other words, pay attention to what you're creating within yourself, your own doubts, your own fears, your own misery, when in fact you could be thinking something else, something at least hopeful. You know, look at what you have to be grateful for, and that kind of thing. It changes your whole attitude instantly.
And there was a time, and we don't have time to go into it, but your work was out there. It disappeared. You persevered. You got that back. And I guess that's probably something from childhood that you persevere. That's a good word to summarize what you've done. A minute or so left here. Let's talk about the musical part of this, working with songs written for Broadway television, working with Hollywood stars. What was that like for you?
Amazing, totally amazing. truly, that's the first time in my life after my mother died all those years ago. So I was like 40 when I sold my first musical, and Joel Gray recorded it. And I remember as I was walking into the building where he was, and I could hear the band already warming up with my music. And my first thought was, oh, mother, I wish you were here tonight. You know, I just want... Well, I'm sorry it has to be so short, because there's some other good stories I'd love to tell you.
Well, let's take a few minutes here and tell me another story or two. I like all of this, and it's so amazing. We talked about not being able to read before that, living in a ditch, and what you went through to the amazing success that you've had.
By the way, you have an old script there on my, on the number of books published. That I have 30 books on Amazon.
Wow. This is old. So there are 30. And if you go to Othello's website, you'll get information there. That's the best place to do it. Bach is B-A-C-H. And I'll give you all that here in a second or so. But we've got a few minutes. Tell me another story or two. I love this.
Well, in the shack, shortly after we got there, there's cow pasture behind the shack. And I would go back there and knock a hunk of salt off the salt lick because I love the salt. And I was back there sucking up a piece of cow salt when I heard music coming from our shack, piano music. And I couldn't believe it, so I go running into the house. And yes, the piano's been delivered, and my mother is sitting there playing the piano. And all I could think as I watched her was I knew how to do that. And so when she quit, I said, I can do that. And she said, well, I bet you could. And she didn't doubt it. And I sat down and started doodling on the piano. Anyway, I found out later, because the shack burned down very shortly after that, and neighbors took us in for the night. And the next morning, I get up and run to the shack to see what's happening. And I don't know what I expected, but it was totally burned out. But there were two men there, just farmers from the area. And one of them stepped up on the porch of this little shack and looked inside, and he turned around and said, well, that's the piano what was stole from the Baptist church.
Mm.
The other guy said, how do you know that? He said, because I've moved it for him twice. Well, anyway, the idea that my father had stolen a piano was embarrassing, horribly embarrassing.
Yes.
I couldn't buy it, and I mean, couldn't accept it for myself. So anyway, I just think but what really the point is, my music comes from, it has to be a God thing, okay?
Yes.
Because I don't read music. I can't write music, but I compose. And I've had 3 musicals that have been sold, and I'm thrilled with that. And I got another one just written, and I'm so excited about that.
Well, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. It's so inspirational what you've gone through in your life, where you are now. And I keep saying the success continues, obviously, with the new musical and all that you've done. It's a remarkable story. The book telling the background of Othello's life is Cry Into the Wind, Othella Bach, that's O-T-H-E-L-L-O, and Bach is B-A-C-H. Her website, othellabach.com, a great place to get all the updated information on her, the books, what's coming out, what's available, that type of thing, all the information there. You'll find the book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Othella, the time has gone by too quickly. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for joining us today on the program, and hopefully we can continue this discussion. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. You're welcome. Othello Bach, the book is Cry Into the Wind. So much more. All of the information on her life and her other books at her website, othellabach.com. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.